Of course, in stating the question thus, I do not intend to be understood as consenting to the doctrine that Jesus will come to earth in physical form, on the clouds with a great shout, and so on, as many of the preachers teach, for that event will never happen, because, as we have written you before, he has already come to earth, or rather to 464, the Paget Messages 1916, men in the spiritual way that we have explained. Neither do I intend to embrace in the phrase, the greatest thing, the divine love, for that, of course, is the greatest thing in all the earth and in the heavens, as well, but by this expression I mean the greatest thing that men can do, independently of the assistance of the divine love. Well, as commonly understood, the millennium is a time or period of 1,000 years when peace will reign on the earth, and the devil, as is said, will be bound and not permitted to roam over the earth, causing sin and destruction of souls, and sickness and the other sins that now so generally beset mortals. Of course, there is no personal devil in the sense of a satanic majesty, but there are spirits of evil which abound in the unseen world and are constantly with mortals, exercising upon them their influence of evil, and suggesting to them thoughts and desires that eventuate in sinful and wrong deeds. But these evil ones are merely the spirits of departed mortals and are not beings of a superior kind in power and qualities. Sin, as we have told you, was never created by God, nor is it the product or emanations of any of God's perfect creations, but is wholly the result of the wrongful exercise of man's appetites and will, when the desires of the flesh are permitted to overcome the desires of his spiritual nature. With sin comes all the evils and discords and inharmonies that constitute man's manner of living his earth life, and until these things, which are not a part of his original nature, but which are the creation of the inversion of that nature, be eliminated from his thoughts and desires and appetites, the millennium will never be established on earth, and neither will Satan be bound in chains and prevented from doing his work of soul destruction. Now, the converse of this proposition is true, and the possibility of its occurring is also true, and the question is how this can be brought about, for to bring this about is the most important thing for men to do. When the cause of the present condition of mankind in sin and sorrow and unhappiness is definitely determined, then will readily appear what is necessary to remedy the condition and remove the cause, and, hence, when the remedy is applied and removal made, the millennium will surely come, for this glorious time of man's desired and looked for happiness is merely one in which peace rules and discords does not exist, and every man is his own brother's keeper in love. Then what are the causes of the present condition of existence on earth, marred and tainted and controlled by sin and error and disease? These causes are twofold, the one arising from man's fall from his created perfection of body, mind and soul, in permitting and encouraging the animal nature to subordinate the spiritual and thereby, by the overindulgence of the former, causing the carnal appetites to grow and transform the man into a lover of sin and things evil. And the other arising from the influences which the spirits of evil, who are always endeavoring to make close rapport with men, and exercise their evil influence over him. While the personal Satan does not exist, yet the idea conveyed by the necessity of binding him in order to bring about this millennium is a true one, and applies to the actual relationship of men to these evil spirits, except this, that in the case of the latter it is not necessary or even possible to bind them, but to loosen them, that is, to loosen their rapport with or influence over men. For when that is done, men become, as it were, free, and these evil spirits are as if they were not. So you see, as a preliminary to the ushering in of this greatly desired time of peace and purity, men must cease to believe that it will come with the coming of Jesus in a manifested physical way, as a mortal conqueror might come with legions of followers and noises of drums and by force of arms or greatness of power subdue his enemies. This will never be, for no man is an enemy of Jesus, but all are his brothers, and he is not now making and never will make war on any human being, only on the sin and defilement that is within his soul. And this war can never be waged by power or force of legions of angels, for so great is the power of man's will and so respected is its freedom of action by the Father, that there is no power in heaven or earth that can or will change a sinful soul into a pure one by force and threats and conquering legions of angels, even though they might be led by Jesus, which will not happen. No, the soul is the man, and that soul can be made pure and sinless only when that soul desires and consents that such a condition may become its own. So, it should not be difficult for men to understand that this erroneous belief, that Jesus will come in this semblance of a human conqueror and establish this great time of peace, is doing them much harm and delaying the actual time of the coming of this event. The effect of this belief upon the soul is that everything is to be 465, the Paget Messages 1916, accomplished by the work of Jesus, and nothing by themselves, except to believe in his coming and wait, and be ready to be snatched up in the clouds, and then help the hosts of heaven to destroy all of their late fellow mortals who had not believed with them, and put on the robes of ascension as they literally or figuratively designate such robes. They thus believe, and in their minds they may be honest, yet their souls may be disfigured and tainted with sin and the life's accumulation of sin, so that they could not possibly be in condition to enjoy a place of purity and freedom from sin. And some of them expect and claim that they will be the judges of others of their fellow mortals, because of the deeds done in the body, and yet in how many cases would it prove to be the blind and sinful judging the blind and sinful? But they further claim that Jesus, by his great power, and the fact that they believed that he would come again to earth and establish his kingdom, will in the twinkling of an eye make them fit subjects for his kingdom, and qualify to judge the unrighteous and help cast them out of his kingdom. No, this can never be the way in which the millennium will be established, and the sooner men discard this belief and seek the truth and the true way to purity and perfection, the sooner the hope and expectation of mankind will be realized. Your brother in Christ, Luke. December 1, 1916. I am here, Judas. I will say only a few words tonight as I see that you are not just in condition to write a long message. I wish to say that whenever you let the thoughts of your material mind control your spiritual consciousness, the result is that you suffer a darkening of the soul's faculties and a consequent impossibility to get in rapport with the higher spirits and their condition of exalted truth and the happiness that necessarily accompanies the association of such spirits with your spiritual essence. So you will understand the importance of keeping the purely mental thoughts, that are created by or arise from the exercise of the five senses and the reasoning powers, in subordination to the perceptions of the soul that arise from the condition of that soul being in harmony with the truths of the Father. I know that at times the cares and worries of life will cause the mental faculties to so operate as 466, to obscure or make almost non-existent these faculties of the soul, which alone can perceive and comprehend the spiritual truths of God, that are the only truths that can make men really happy and fitted to enjoy the blessings that the Father is bestowing upon them. I make these abstract suggestions that you may apply them to your own condition of mind, as it has existed for the past few days, and making such application you will realize the force of what I say. Your worries and dread of impending distress and failure to be able to satisfy the demands upon you, have alienated you, to a large extent, from the higher truths and the rapport that you have heretofore enjoyed and possessed, and have caused much unhappiness to come to you. But being mortal, and realizing the demands that are made upon you as a mortal, it may be quite natural that you should get into that condition of worry and dread, and not be able to realize that these higher spiritual conditions are the more desirable, and the only ones that will bring you happiness and freedom from worry. I know that so long as you are a mortal, the cares of life will be a part of your living, and that they will be of sufficient weight to exercise a powerful influence on your thinking and acting, and that you will scarcely be able to cause the spiritual thoughts and happiness that always flows from them, to set aside and make unreal this material condition. Yet such a thing is possible, and you can bring about this so desirable condition if you will only follow the advice that has been given you by your spirit friends, namely, pray to the Father and believe. No, that is true. This desired condition will not of itself bring to you these things that you speak of, but it will help you to endure their absence to a greater extent than you can possibly imagine. Neither does the fact that you worry and fret bring these things. And when you have this need and in addition the condition of mind that worry and dread bring to you, you have a double burden and one which does much harm. So let me advise you to make every effort to get into that condition that these spiritual acquirements will place you in, and trust to the promises that have been made you as to the material things. I desire to write merely this tonight to encourage you, and to assure you that you need not let the worries and fears of the future, as to these material wants, take possession of you and deaden the spiritual contentment that may be yours. You will not be abandoned in the particulars mentioned, the Paget Messages 1916, and you must rely upon the promises that have been made you, and you will find that you will not be forsaken. So think of what I herein say, and give your thoughts to the Father's love and to the promises of the spirits who are so much interested in you. I will not write more now. With my love and assurance that what has been promised, you may expect, I'm your brother in Christ, Judas. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. I will not write much as you are not in condition yet. But I will say that John and Luther wrote you and they were the real persons of whom you know. I see that you are feeling better tonight and I am glad, but you must be careful and not take more cold. There are quite a number of your spirit friends here tonight who wish to be remembered and say that they are trying to help you in any way. So kiss me good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. December 2, 1916. I am here, Jesus. I merely want to say a word for the benefit of you and your friend, and that is, that I have listened to your conversation tonight, and find that it is in accord with the truth, and the influence of the Spirit is with you both. Continue in your line of thought and in prayer to the Father, and, also, in your making known to others, whenever the opportunity arises, the importance of seeking for and getting the divine love. As your friend said, the only prayer that is necessary is the prayer for the inflowing of this love. All other forms or real aspirations of prayer are secondary, and of themselves, will not tend to produce this love and the souls of men. Let your prayer be as follows: Our Father, who art in heaven, we recognize, that thou art all-holy and loving and merciful, and that we are the children of thy care and not the subservient, sinful and depraved creatures that our false teachers would have us believe, that we are the greatest of thy creation and the most wonderful of all thy handiworks, and that we are the objects of thy great soul love and tenderest care, that your will is that we become at one with thee and partake of the great love which thou hast bestowed upon us through 467, thy mercy and desire that we become, in truth, thy children, and not through the sacrifice and death of any one of thy creatures, that thou will open up our souls to the inflowing of thy love, and that then will come thy Holy Spirit to bring into our souls, this, thy love in great abundance until our souls may be transformed into the very essence of thyself, and that there may come to us faith, such faith as will cause us to realize that we are truly thy children and that we are one with thee in very substance and not in image only. Let us have such faith as will cause us to know that thou art our Father and the bestower of every good and perfect gift, and that only we, ourselves, can prevent thy love changing us from the mortal to the immortal. Let us never cease to realize that thy love is waiting for each and all of us, and that when he come to thee in faith and earnest aspiration, thy love will never be withholden from us. Keep us in the shadow of thy love every hour and moment of our lives, and help us to overcome all temptations of the flesh and the influence of the powers of the evil ones who so constantly surround us and endeavor to turn our thoughts away from thee to the pleasures and allurements of this world. We thank thee for thy love and for the possibility of receiving it, and believe that thou art our Father, the loving Father who smiles upon us in our weakness, and is always ready to help us and take us to thy arms of love. We pray thus with all the earnestness and longing of our soul, and trusting in thy love give thee all the glory and honor and love that our finite souls can give. This is the only prayer that men need offer to the Father. It is the only one that appeals to the love of the Father, and with the answer, which will surely come, will come all the blessings that men may need, and which the Father sees are for the good of his creatures. I am in very great rapport with you tonight, and see that the Father's love is with you, and that your souls are hungry for more. So, my brothers, continue to pray and have faith, and in the end will come a bestowal of the love like unto that which came to the apostles at Pentecost. The Paget Messages 1916. I will not write more now. In leaving you, I will leave my love and blessings and the assurance that I pray to the Father for your happiness and love. Good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, Ingersoll. I am here, and desire to say with all the emphasis of my words and soul that the Master wrote you, and gave you the prayer, which he said is the only prayer that is needful to bring into the souls of men the divine love. He was glorious, and it is not surprising that you felt the influence of his presence and love, and I, who have so recently experienced what this love is, tell you that your feelings were real and that love is present, and that we spirits feel it, as well as you two mortals. Astonishing to us, as to you, is the power of this love and the greatness of the Master, for with him seems to come the influence of the very Father himself. How every thankful I am that I found the way to this love, and it found its way to my soul. What a loving Father, and what a tender Master, to teach us of this great gift. I could not restrain myself from writing, as the opportunity came to testify of this love and of the Master, and I felt that, as I had so often declared on earth that there was no such thing, I must now and always when the opportunity arises declare the truth of the divine love and the Holy Spirit, and the glorious Jesus. I must not write more tonight. So believe that it is I who write, and that I can with all the certainty of love declare that I am, your brother in Christ, Ingersoll. Well, I will and I am glad that you have even one page more. I am happy tonight, for I see that you have had an experience that has caused your soul to open up to this wonderful love of the Father. Oh, my dear, it has been a glorious evening and the Master seemed to breathe out the fullness of the great love that he possesses. Your own true and loving, Helen. December 3, 1916. I am here, Cornelius. I will write only a line or two, as I see from your condition of mind that you are anxious to study the prayer that the Master wrote you last night. Well, I am not surprised, for it 468, is a wonderful prayer, and one, that when earnestly breathed to the Father, will bring into your soul this great love which is the only thing necessary to make you at one with him. As I heretofore told you, I am in possession of this love, and know that it is real and causes the soul of the mortal and the spirit to partake of the essence of the Father, and in a manner become divine itself. I should like to write you a message tonight about some of the truths of the teachings of the apostles which are very pertinent to the subject upon which the preacher discoursed tonight. I was present, as were also many other spirits, Orthodox Presbyterians, and those that have been freed from their creeds and erroneous beliefs of earth life. You might be surprised, if I should tell you the great number of spirits who listened to the sermon with interest and in expectation of learning something that they could accept as truth. The preacher had a vastly larger audience of spirits than of mortals, and among a great many of the former, his teachings were received just as they were by the mortal hearers. But I must not write more now. So hoping that I will soon have the opportunity to write, I will say, good night. Your brother in Christ, Cornelius. December 4, 1916. I am here, Esau, son of Isaac. I was the son of Isaac and the brother of Jacob, and the one whom the Jews regarded as having sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. But I was misrepresented in this regard, as I did only that which necessity compelled me to do. But all that is long past, and now I am an inhabitant of the celestial heavens, for in the world of spirits all things are made right, and I became a possessor of the divine love after I had received knowledge of its re-bestowal at the coming of Jesus. Many of the characters of the Old Testament have never yet realized this great transformation, because in their conception of self-righteousness, are contented in that conception, and worship God as they did on earth, although they have ceased to offer sacrifices of animals, because they have none in spirit life to offer, yet they still have the belief that sacrifice is necessary. And in their imaginations, they offer what to them is symbolical of the offerings that they made in the earth life. Yes, that is quite a natural supposition, but you must know that mind and the beliefs of mortals continue with them when they become spirits and, the Paget Messages 1916, who will not permit themselves to be convinced of the errors of their conceptions of deity, and many of these spirits of old, are in that condition now. They refuse to believe or even listen to the truths of existence and their relationship to God, as they did when on earth. They have eyes, but they see not, and ears, but they hear not, and enveloped in the darkness of their beliefs, they decline to let in the light, or to permit the truths 17 that are so apparent to others to illuminate their souls. A mind that is shut in by bigotry and intolerance is just as persistent after the mortal becomes a spirit, even though a change in its surroundings, in what you might call its physical existence and in its possibilities for learning the truth, yet many of these spirits absolutely refuse to recognize any change or possibility of change in their spiritual condition. It is not surprising that you may not understand how it is possible that these spirits of the kind mentioned could live all this great period of years, as you estimate time, in this condition, surrounded by spirits 18 who have found the truth, and display that possession in their appearances and happiness, and especially by some of their elder associates who have entered into the light, and not be influenced by these appearances and the experiences of these associates. But, nevertheless, it is true, and the difficulty of converting these bigoted spirits seems to grow the greater as they advance in their progression of mind and natural love. They are happy in a relative sense, and in their beliefs they can conceive of no other belief or cause of progress that could bring to them greater happiness. And besides, they are firmly convinced that they are doing the will of God in their manner of worship and in their symbolical sacrifices. These ancient spirits, as you call them, but who are young as compared to many in the spirit spheres, have their synagogues and temples of worship, and their priests and servants and worshippers according to their old beliefs. And the ceremonies attending their gatherings for worship are very little different from what they were on earth. They have all their vestments and attire and other accompaniments that on earth distinguished them from the common people, and they say their prayers in public and delight in appearing as holy 17. This refers to the spirits that have obtained the new birth. 18. This refers to those who have partaken of the divine love in their souls. Spirits, the specially chosen of God, just as they did on earth, and as they are developing more and more in their natural love, and taking on the condition of perfection, so far as the perfection of the first parents as they existed before the fall. They may remain in this condition of belief as to their relationship to God, and as to their proper and only way to worship Him throughout all eternity. They decline to receive the knowledge of the truth of the new birth, and as that is a thing that is optional with them and its rejection does not prevent them from becoming the perfect man, as you have had explained to you, there is no absolute necessity as they think they should be born again in order to enable a restoration of the harmony of that condition and relationship that they may have to the Father. Of course, until the day of the consummation of the kingdom of the celestial spheres, they will have the opportunity to become recipients of the divine love and the transformation into angels redeemed. But it is doubtful if very many of them will ever elect to accept this great privilege. I am glad that I could write to you tonight, as it is a new experience with me, but one that gives me great satisfaction, and I will come again, if agreeable to you, and write further. I wish to say in closing that I know the difference between the spirit who has in his soul the divine love, and one who has not, and that the mere time of a spirit's existence in the spirit world does not necessarily indicate that the spirit possesses the divine love. As Jesus said, when on earth, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, and I may add, that some will never be first or last, but only the reminders of what might have been. I will not write more. Your brother in Christ, Esau. December 5, 1916. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, my dear, the spirits who desire to write to you of the higher truths did not think it best to attempt to write tonight, and hence you got no response from them. They say that you were not then in condition to receive their messages and that it was not advisable to try to convey any to you. But many of them were present, trying to throw around you their influence of love and help, and I know that as the evening progressed you felt their presence. I am glad that you have the Master's Prayer to help you and open up your soul to the inflowing of 469, the Paget Messages 1916, the love of the Father. It is a wonderful prayer. And as you repeat it with all your sincere soul desires, you will find that peace will come to you and the very presence of the divine love will be felt in your soul. So try to learn the prayer and offer it up to the Father, not only at night when you are ready to retire, but during the day, and especially when you feel gloomy and downcast, for the results will do you much good. It will bring to you the presence of this love and, also, the higher spirits who possess so much of it, and the rapport will enable you to realize that there are spirits hovering around, and such spirits as will cause you much happiness and peace. So remember what I advise, and give your aspirations to the offering of the prayer, and to the hope that with you may abound this love and all its fullness. Oh, my dear, when I think of how blessed you are in having conferred upon you this great mission, I can hardly realize that it is true, yet I know that it is, and that you should feel so thankful to the Master, as I do. No other has had such a privilege conferred upon him and, of course, no other has such a responsibility, and when this latter is considered, it seems that you will have to have the sustaining influence and power of all the spirits who are in your higher band, to enable you to do the work and not faint in its performance. Jesus is with you and you will not be afraid that you will not succeed. The way and the means will be provided, and the great truths will be given you, and through you, to the world, and in the long future men will learn the truth and thank the Father that it became possible for his truths and the knowledge of his great love to be revealed through the instrumentality of a mortal. You may be forgotten, but your work will live forever, and men and nations will experience the benefit of it and come closer to the Father and closer to one another, as brothers. The nations will necessarily be what the individuals who compose them are, and love and peace will reign on earth, as the Master promised long years ago, and as he promises now. All will be fulfilled, and as the old prophet said, the desolate places will bloom and blossom as the rose, but better than this, in men's hearts and souls will come such love that every man will truly become his brother's neighbor, and the great leaders of mankind will realize their dream of the brotherhood of man. In the near future the Master and the other spirits who have been writing you the truths of the new birth and of the higher things that pertain to 470, the souls of men, will write to you as to the moral precepts, and as to those things that will cause the development of the natural love of men. And their teachings will be very interesting. I have heard them talk of these things, and know that these truths and teachings which relate to the moral development of men are a part of the plan to be made known to you. So you see, you yet have much work to do, and you must not think for a moment that you will not get in condition, materially and spiritually, to do this great work to its completion. It has been decreed that you shall finish this work before you come to the spirit world, and there will be no failure. It will be that some obstacles will be met with, such as you are now encountering, but after a little while they will disappear, and you will be free to do your work without hindrance and in the way that you have so often thought about. Well, sweetheart, I have written a long letter tonight and I think it best to stop, but before I do so, I desire to say to your two friends that their work is of like importance, and that the great powers that are not looking after and directing you are also looking after them, and that their work will have to be done also. It is a part of the great desire and plan that they shall perform their missions, and that ways and means shall be provided by which they will be enabled to accomplish the task set before them. So tell them to take courage and believe what I here write, and know that the Master and the higher spirits have decreed that they, also, shall have a part in this glorious plan for the salvation of mankind, and that nothing will be permitted to interfere with, or defeat, them in their labors. They will have to remain mortals until their work shall have been accomplished, and by that time they will have such knowledge of the glories of the heavenly life that they will be anxious to hear the well done, good and faithful servants, and enter into the joys of the homes which have been prepared for them. And when that time comes, there will be many in the spirit world who will meet them, with hearts full of thankfulness and love, and words of appreciation and greeting. So tell them to keep up their faith and courage, and let not doubt enter into their minds as to the fact that they are the chosen ones also. I must stop now. So, with my love, good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. The Paget Messages 1916, December 6, 1916. I am Edwin Forrest. I merely want to say a word. I know it is late, but I have been listening to your reading and conversation tonight, and I have been much interested, for you have read and said many things that I had no knowledge of. I was especially interested in the prayer which you say Jesus wrote, and I tried to commit it to memory, for I believe that if it will be helpful to you, it will be helpful to me also, and I need help so much, although I am not in the awful condition of darkness and suffering that I was in when I first wrote you. It is wonderful to me how you have these bright and high spirits come to you and write such messages as you receive. I am present many times when you are writing, and can understand what you are receiving, but strange as it may seem to you, I cannot see these spirits unless they specially reveal themselves to me.